Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. It is Tuesday, July 17th, 2012. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, sitting in for Alex today on this truly monumental day of news that just stretches your construct of reality. It's so amazing. Let me give you a hint of what's coming up here. We've got, well, yesterday at the end of the Alex Jones Show, we had a caller, Chris from Oklahoma, who began describing his involvement in military gun confiscation of U.S. citizens in New Orleans. And he talked about the New Orleans Police Department, the NOPD, involved in some rather heinous crimes, including raping of women and other things. That set off really a firestorm of research here at the InfoWars studios in Austin, Texas. Last night, Rob Dew then had on InfoWars Nightly News a video compilation. Because, you see, so many people can't believe this is really happening. They live in denial about the gun confiscation issue and what the military is ordered to do when a crisis occurs in these cities. So Rob Dew and the team put together a video compilation of footage, some of it from mainstream news media, showing U.S. military engaged in gun confiscation and doing it rather violently and as Chris said during the call, without negotiation. So we're going to feature that video clip coming up in just a few minutes to show that to you and remove any doubt in your mind that this is the plan. When there's a crisis, when there's an attack, a natural disaster, a bomb, a dirty bomb, a release of, let's say, a pandemic bioweapon of some sort, this is what's going to happen in the U.S. I have no doubt about that. But that's just the beginning of the show today. We have much more coming up as well, including an exclusive worldwide radio first of Blair Hamrick, the whistleblower from GlaxoSmithKline. He and his partner, Greg Thorpe, well, they were colleagues, I should say, ex-employees of GlaxoSmithKline. They initiated the whistleblowing suit involving the Department of Justice, turning over evidence to the U.S. government that eventually resulted in the largest settlement and the largest admission of criminal activity in the history of medicine, in the entire history of modern medicine, a $3 billion settlement with the Department of Justice. And he is here on the Alex Jones Show, joins us at 12:30 Central with an interview and to take some of your questions. And the details that he has ready to share with us will blow your mind. We're talking about bribery of doctors, kickbacks from doctors. We're talking about off-label marketing of drugs to children, even though they were never tested for children, never approved for children, all that and much more straight ahead. Also, the FDA has just been caught surveilling the emails of its own employees and scientists. This is a mafia type of surveillance, criminal thug racket type of operation that the FDA has just been caught doing. You know, instead of being transparent, they now have to be big brother to their own employees because they know their own employees are trying to expose the truth and expose the corruption and expose the criminality to the world, just like Dr. David Graham did over the Vioxx issue many years ago. And the FDA is now turning to what could be criminal type of activities to suppress and censor and intimidate their own employees. That's America today. It's not just the government engaged in gun confiscation of private citizens following a natural disaster. It's the FDA itself going after its own employees. Imagine that. We've also got information here, a Paul Joseph Watson article, the UN gun grab follows State Department plan, plus the breaking news coming out of Washington Times that says the Law of the Sea Treaty, that was the UN Small Arms Treaty, was part of that. This says the Law of the Sea Treaty is now dead. That's called LOST, L-O-S-T is the acronym for that. But we know, and you know, if you're a regular listener, that even if Congress is not approving of something, the executive branch of government will bypass Congress and do the UN's bidding anyway. So all of that and much more, including G. Edward Griffin is a guest at the bottom of this hour. All that straight ahead right here on the Alex Jones Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. Tuesday, July 17th, we are continuing here. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, sitting in for Alex today. I'm the editor of NashvilleNews.com. You probably know that. And Alex, of course, Infowars.com, where you can find articles on all these topics that we are discussing today. A huge show straight ahead. In fact, there's so much here. We've got military gun confiscation of U.S. citizens. That issue is high on the radar right now. We're going to discuss the Law of the Sea Treaty. Reports are that it is now dead because the U.S. Senate will not ratify it at this point. But if the U.N. passes it, could the executive branch, Obama in particular, bypass Congress and go ahead and say that guns should be confiscated from all law-abiding Americans? I'm talking about legal guns, guns that people bought with the FBI background checks, with concealed weapons permits, with ATF approval, Form 4 equipment, for example, all legal, but it could all be confiscated. Now, we've got much more coming up, but I want to give a shout out. If there was a caller at the end of the show yesterday, a military, active duty military or former active duty, Chris from Oklahoma, called in, and he had an astonishing story about gun confiscation in New Orleans. He and his teammates, fellow soldiers, going in and doing very aggressive, kicking in doors, arresting people, taking their guns. I want to ask him to call back in. We're going to open up the phone lines and see if he's listening, want him to call back in, have him back on. Otherwise, if other people who have been in the military and who are involved, who were involved in gun confiscation drills or actual missions, we would invite them to call in as well. We'll be taking your calls later on in the show. We've got G. Edward Griffin coming up at the bottom of the hour with some additional information in all this realm of global control of the situation. But first, we're going to introduce a video compilation. For those of you who don't believe what we're talking about, that this kind of gun confiscation is actually going on in America, Rob Dew and the InfoWars Nightly News crew put together a video compilation that will blow your mind. And this includes some clips from the call yesterday with Chris from Oklahoma, plus some mainstream news footage that actually shows this going on, kicking in doors, screaming at innocent citizens, taking their guns and leaving them wide open to violent crime in their areas hit by natural disasters. We're going to go to that video clip right now, and then we'll be right back after that. Take a look.
The guns will be taken.
Yeah, no one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
Today in New Orleans, they got a lot tougher on the holdouts.
Police department at your home!
Not only the flooded areas, but New Orleans' driest and wealthiest neighborhoods, too.
Police department!
The police and National Guard going street by street, house to house, sometimes entering open houses with guns drawn, and instructions to disarm anyone inside.
Let's go to Chris in Oklahoma. Chris, you're on the air on the Alex Jones Show. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Health Ranger. How's it been?
Good. It's good here, man. How about yourself?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. I was with the 45th Infantry Brigade and Delta Company, 1st at the 279, 2nd Platoon. During Hurricane Katrina, I'm kind of calling in on yesterday's subject. I'm sorry about that.
It's all right.
But I've always wanted to get a hold of you guys and kind of get the word out there for those that still have that slight hesitation in the back of their head that gun confiscation can't and won't happen here. It already has. And I was only 21 years old, just really gung-ho, really dedicated to the Army, especially to the infantry. And I did whatever I was told.
And what did they ask you to do?
The first thing we did was we got a book full of 3-week-old 911 phone calls, right? And then we had to go around and answering all the phone calls. So we were like cadaver dogs for about 3 weeks. And in between them, we would run night missions. And here's the thing. A lot of people may think that they'll see this on the news or they'll have time to get ready when the crap hits the fan or whatever. It's just, it's a truck. You know what I mean? It's a group of trucks. They pull up, they stack right on your home, as we did, and we broke entry. Yeah, we would yell out, Oklahoma Army National Guard, is anybody in need of assistance? But that's as we were booting in the door.
Oh, wait a minute. It sounds like you weren't part of the Oklahoma National Guard. I mean, you were U.S. military.
Yeah, I was activated. I think about a week after Katrina, I was watching it on the news, and Sheriff Kamiko of Fox 23 told me before my unit even got a hold of me that I was going to New Orleans.
So we got
sent in, and we were the very, very first boots on the ground, Alpha Company.
And you were confiscating firearms?
Left and right, yes. And we were also monitoring the New Orleans police because we kept having, like the first day we had this little beautiful redheaded lady come up.
All right, wait a minute. We're almost out of time. Will you stay on the line for us, please? I want to continue with you on the other side. Stay on the line with us. This is fascinating. We're going to continue this right here on the Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back.
That happened today in this wealthy neighborhood where homeowners had armed themselves to protect their mansions. Residents were handcuffed on the ground. In the end, police took their weapons but let them stay in their homes.
They were a little bit threatened because our weapons were bigger than their weapons.
Chris Montgomery says he'd rather be in Iraq than patrolling American neighborhoods.
Walking up and down these streets, you don't want to think about the stuff that you're going to have to do. Somebody pops around the corner.
You'll be shooting in America.
Yeah.
We have Chris on the line from Oklahoma relating a story about gun confiscation in New Orleans and that entire region following Hurricane Katrina several years ago. And Chris, go ahead. You were saying, you were describing how you and your team were kicking in doors and confiscating firearms from people. Did anybody resist? Did anybody ever shoot back? What happened?
Well, we had a couple of people resist verbally, and they got stuffed and cuffed very violently. We throw them in the back of the five-ton or the deuce and a half or whatever, and then we take them out to the Greyhound bus station, which was the police station at the time. Before we came up, or before the break, I think it was like the second day we were there, this redheaded lady came up to our platoon's area, and she sat, or to our company area, she sat on the curb with her knees in her chest, just rocking back and forth, crying uncontrollably. She sat there for almost 27 hours, just refused to move. We talked to her, we did everything we could, just didn't want to, you could tell she had been through enough. She'd been repeatedly raped by men in NOPD masks and NOPD uniforms.
Oh, you're kidding me.
So we were told, at that point we were told the NOPD obviously isn't our friend, we need to start watching them. The FBI had us out there at Cooter Brown, which is the NOPD Sheriff's Brother's Bar. It's like the big cop bar there in New Orleans.
Just so people know, NOPD is New Orleans Police Department, just for people who know.
Yeah, definitely. Not the police department.
So a lot of those cops were then just total rogue. I mean, we saw a video of some of them going in and looting retail stores and things like that, but they were raping women down there?
Definitely, raping women. They were. We got two separate women that came to our company alone, and when I was there, I met cats from the California Guard, Indiana Guard, you name it, everybody was. And...
But how
it was just a free for all. Police from all over the country, Dallas County, Dallas, Texas Sheriff's down there.
But how did you and your team justify to yourselves and each other that gun confiscation would help this situation when it was a free for all? I mean, isn't that a time when citizens need to be able to defend themselves?
It never, like I said, I was just ignorant as hell, and that's kind of something that I worry about with the kids today. If they really realize what they're doing. I had no idea. The only time it ever occurred to me that something may be wrong is we came up, we were down by the old French district. We came up to this man's house. He had a big wooden sign that says, "I'm here alone with my dog and my shotgun. Looters beware." We thought, it's funny. Everyone stopped and took pictures of the sign. But eventually we took his guns.
Jeez.
And we left him there with nothing.
So now that you know what you know, now that you're listening to the Alex Jones Show and you're informed, what would you advise people to do if this happens again?
Well, I called. I mean, no offense. I mean, Mike, we love everything you do. I'm a big fan of the Health Ranger. But I was hoping to get a hold of Alex for the fact that what do you do when they stack right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're prepped to come into the home. There's no negotiating with us. Trust me. There was no negotiating.
Yeah.
If you resisted, you died. That were the orders. You go for gunner, you die.
Yeah, but I mean, this is invaluable information. I apologize. We only have limited time here. I got to let you go. We've got so much more coming up here, but fascinating. I hope you call back and get to Alex as well. I'll pass on this conversation to Alex and let him know. But that's some frightening information, and I just hope that the military that the members of the military say no, they refuse to engage in gun confiscation because no doubt there could be outbreaks of violence and a lot of needless death and bloodshed if that happens. But thank you for your call, Chris. That's very concerning.
It was traumatic. All of a sudden, they were banging on the front door, the side door, and the back door. And they said, let us in. I'm saying, look at all my food. I got plenty of food. They kept pushing me back, and ended up like this.
Then, Patty showed them a small revolver she was carefully holding in the palm of her hand. A camera crew was there to capture what unfolded next.
I said, it's not even loaded. And I dropped it on the floor.
You got a gun.
Well, they punched me in the face. Look at my black and blue marks. Look at...
You said guns will be taken.
No one. Okay, wow. There you go. The footage, a compilation from InfoWars Nightly News, put together from mainstream media sources, plus our interview yesterday with Chris from Oklahoma, who we want to encourage to call back in at 1-800-259-9231. Plus, we're going to be taking calls later during the show. And by the way, I am just emotionally hit by all this as well. When you see this going on, that woman that they just showed just had a revolver to protect herself from looters or home invasion. And they punch her in the face. They throw her against the wall and take her gun and leave her there defenseless in a situation where the looters are running rampant. This is America? I mean, it is. This is Chicago. This is New York. This is everywhere that the citizens are being left defenseless and the murder rate is soaring even without a natural disaster, even without some kind of a false flag attack going on. Imagine what's going to happen when it really hits the fan. Much more straight ahead. Stay with us on The Alex Jones Show. All right, Info Warriors, start your engines. We've got a document for you to go out and search if you're not already familiar with it. It's called the State Department Publication 7277. You got that? 7277. Alex talked about that on the Sunday show. And this is the complete disarmament of the world laid out point by point. This is the strategy. It's called Freedom from War, and it goes back to September of 1961. And it is upon this document that the current discussions of the United Nations and its treaty for small arms, disarmament, registration, confiscation, and so on is based. So this has been an agenda going on for a very long time. The truth is, look, no matter what you think about your neighbor owning a firearm or you owning one, the point is the United States Second Amendment is unique in all the world, just like the Bill of Rights, as a sacred, almost a divinely inspired document, is unique in the world. And they want to destroy it. The globalists want to destroy the Bill of Rights, and Obama's doing a good job for them. Really, really obedient puppet to get that job done. And of course, there are other puppets standing in line to do it for them, but they're trying to destroy every right, every freedom, every liberty that we have in America today. Now, we opened up the phone lines for callers who were engaged in the military or even National Guard would also qualify who were engaged in gun confiscation. And we want to invite them to call in. The number is 800-259-9231. We also want to give a shout out to Chris from Oklahoma. If he's listening today, to go ahead and call in and tell us more details about what took place there. And just a quick heads up, G. Edward Griffin is joining us very soon in a few minutes. I'm going to ask him questions about gun confiscation. And then we've got a big whistleblower who was inside GlaxoSmithKline who's joining us at the bottom of the next hour, about an hour from now, with incredible details about bribery of physicians, off-label marketing, violations of law, fraud, you name it. It's a big breaking story right here on The Alex Jones Show. Now, I want to go to a caller right now because of the video we just played in that last segment. We've got Charles in Louisiana joining us. You're on the air, Charles. Go ahead. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I was reporting every day. I was from New Orleans to Alex on a show.
Yes.
I was down there. But let me explain something to you. When they would take the guns away from the people, they wouldn't go back in the Ninth Ward because they would fight, and they would run the police out. Then they would come at night and rape the women, and knowing they didn't have guns.
Right.
Do you understand what I mean?
I know, exactly.
Police, And the police, they were busy robbing the jewelry stores. That's right. The police was doing that. I've seen this. And the men was nothing. And all these men talk all this bad stuff. They were shaking when they come there. But the main thing is, after they took them guns, they made themselves victims for the thugs that come up there. They would just come into a house and take what they wanted, take food, jewelry. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know where the men are at, but giving these guns up, it's going to be the most awful thing you ever had.
Well, this is the important point, Charles, is that if you, sorry to interrupt you, but if you give up your guns now, you can expect to be that's going to be followed up by police department or other people. And by the way, I don't want to say, I mean, not all cops are bad. I know a lot of law enforcement, mostly they're good people. They wouldn't engage in this kind of behavior. But in New Orleans, now we're hearing it from so many places again and again, they went back and they raped those women and they broke into the houses and they stole the jewelry. Like you were just saying, it happened. And it's time to get out of denial and realize what happens when you give up your Second Amendment in this country. Go ahead, Charles.
And people on a bridge just trying to cross the bridge. I reported that to Alex as soon as that happened. They just shot them down like dogs, sir. We were there.
Yeah, I recognize your voice. I remember you calling in.
They shot them like dogs. And that woman in the Irish Channel, they broke her jaw and beat up. She just come with a Bible and a revolver. And I tell you another thing is, the military, I have no respect after the military, what they did to women. Show me your breast for some water. So show me you're not thirsty. And the police, it was so bad. But they're going to take off the military. They're going to take the guns away from them and the police, too. And I told them that. They're going to take your guns away. And then now what they're going to do when they take their guns away? They're going to want to be friends with us?
And now also remember then, none of those police were ever brought up on charges who engaged in that. They got away with it because the people were disarmed. They couldn't fight back. It was a chaotic type of situation. I mean, isn't that the time when citizens and neighborhoods and communities need to have a common lawful defense against looters, against lawlessness, against violent criminals? That's the time when you need to band together with your neighbors in a common defense with legal and lawful firearms. That's the point of having those tools of protection and defense. This is really, okay, we've got more callers on the line, a lot more straight ahead, but thank you, Charles, for calling in. And stay with us. We'll be right back with a lot more straight ahead right here. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, let me lay it out for you here. The big issues of the day, we're talking about the gun confiscation that really took place, that it's already part of American history, took place in New Orleans. It's on the record. We just showed you the video clips. I mean, some of those were mainstream media video clips. We've got people, witnesses firsthand. You just heard a caller, Charles, who called in, who has actually called in many times in the past, telling us firsthand what he witnessed taking place, the most heinous crimes. The big picture here, and by the way, we've got G. Edward Griffin on the line. We're going to be joining him in just a second. We've also got callers on the line. We're going to get to you, so please stay on the line. James in Tennessee with law enforcement. Joe from Georgia and Tango from Georgia also. So please stay on the line. We'll get to you. The big picture here is, look, I know that Alex and myself both would rather be here talking about the spiritual connection with the creative forces of the universe, the creativity and the beauty of the world and human achievement and positive outcomes for the future of humanity. We would rather focus on that. But the truth is, when you've got gun confiscation taking place, when you've got an oppressive a world government that's trying to take away your liberties, then you have to pay attention to that, because you are not going to solve that problem by sitting in a room, let's say, and just meditating. You know, the gun confiscation, the Federal Reserve, the printing of currency, the stealing of your economic prosperity, the taking away of your rights, these things are real. And even though we don't want to dwell on them because we don't want to stay in that area, we do have to beat them. We have to achieve victory as info warriors, as defenders of liberty and life and love and truth and all that is good in the world and even in the universe. I mean, we have to defeat tyranny if we hope to move on and actually achieve something great as a human civilization. And that's why we do this. So I don't want to dwell in the negative, but we have to be realistic about what's out there. And this is going on. You know, Obamacare is forcing you to do business with monopolized criminal pharmaceutical organizations. It's in your face. The gun confiscation is really happening. The NOPD really did go out there and rape women after taking the guns away from the families so they were defenseless. So it's real. We can't live in denial if we hope to achieve greatness. We have to beat the tyrants. We have to restore liberty. And that's the only way that we can actually achieve greatness as human civilization and protect the future for our own children and grandchildren as well. Now, with more comments on that, big picture view is, of course, Ed Griffin. He is really one of the pioneers of the Liberty Movement. RealityZone.com is one of his websites. He joins us now by phone with his comments on what's happening in the world today. Ed, thank you for joining us here on the Alex Jones Show. What's on your mind today?
Well, thanks a lot, Mike, for inviting me. What's on my mind? Well, I feel rather schizophrenic this morning. Everything at once is all on my mind. Somewhat like you, I appreciated your comments that we would rather focus on the more pleasant aspects of life, but the reality is in your face, as you said. Good analogy. While you were saying that, it reminded me of the fellow that was on death row in prison, and he was sentenced to be electrocuted in the morning, or hung, let's just say hung, and he wasn't very happy about the idea. He was in his cell, he was dejected, this was the end of his life and everything. And the guy in the cell across the way said, "What's the matter? Why are you looking so dejected?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to die here in a few hours. They're going to hang me." And so the other fellow said, "Well, look at the bright side. You still have your health."
Oh my, little gallows humor there.
Well, yeah, that's kind of how I feel, because sometimes people say, "Oh, you're so negative. You're always talking about these bad things. Why don't you look at the bright side?" You know.
And you know, I'm so tired of hearing that from people. It's like, what if your neighbor's house is burning down? You shouldn't tell them. Right. You shouldn't call 911. Just let it burn down. Don't be negative. Don't tell the truth about something bad happening.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's ridiculous.
I call it the Jiminy Cricket mentality. You know, the song, "If You Wish Upon a Star." No matter where you are, it'll all come true if you just wish. And we kind of teach that to kids, that if you're good and you're pure and your intentions are correct and, you know, everything will work out just fine because you're good. Well, the fact of the matter is we live in a world where there are a lot of people who are not so good. And as a matter of fact, the criminal mentality tends to gravitate into positions of power because that means that they, you know, government power in particular, because they figured it out a long time ago. Why should you fight the government when you can be the government?
Absolutely. What are you seeing in terms of the trending of criminality? Because one of the trends that's becoming very obvious to info warriors and all of us who fight for liberty is that in the last even just 5 years, there seems to be an acceleration. Just the outright criminality, thuggishness of government, not just federal, but I mean at local levels too. Look at California, look at Chicago. Well, I guess Chicago's always been steeped in corruption and criminality. But is it really getting worse, in your opinion?
Well, yes, it is, because I think there's almost a mathematical relationship here. This is a social event happening, but I think there's a lot of mathematics in it, in the sense that the reason that all governments eventually evolve into criminal syndicates is because we give them power, and power is a magnet. Power is a magnet that attracts the criminal mentality, the predator class. And so the more power we give to government, the more inevitable it becomes that magnet gets stronger and it attracts more and more of the predator class. And finally, we just have basically a government that we thought was of the people gradually evolved into a criminal syndicate. So, yes, there's a mathematical relationship. The more power we give to government, the more we create a criminal environment.
Well, yeah, look at the UN, where you have total diplomatic immunity. So anywhere that you have total immunity, you get complete and utter corruption.
Of course.
Runaway criminality.
Yeah, that's it. So once people connect the dots and realize that there's a cause for this criminality, it's not just because, it happened that way. There's a cause. It's that relationship between the power that we tolerate government having. In fact, we often become, when I say we, I mean the people in general, not you and me, of course, but in general, the population has been conditioned to think that no matter what problems we have in society, the solution is to give more power to the government. And so we create this environment. We are creating ourselves, creating this this magnet for the criminal class.
Well, what do you think about the gun confiscation issue? I don't know if you heard the last segment, but it's rising up again because of this UN treaty being negotiated that would potentially, I mean, this was written up right in Forbes magazine, in fact, which typically doesn't reveal this much information about what's really going on, but it could potentially result in gun registration, confiscation of legal firearms, basically a total disarmament of the U.S. population. Of course, they deny that that's what the treaty would do, but if you read between the lines, that's what it actually could do. What are your thoughts on that issue, Ed Griffin?
Well, that pretty well summarizes it. They do deny it. They always deny the negative consequences of their programs. They like to talk about their other measures in glowing terms. I mean, they don't call it gun confiscation or gun control. You know, they call it a disarmament, reducing crime, and they like put things like, you know, crime reduction program and that kind of thing.
Well, of course, but of course, the greatest armed criminals, I should say, the most severe, the worst armed criminals are the government themselves. Just look at history, look at democide figures of death by government. So what the mainstream people are missing is that it's not gun disarmament. It is a movement of all firearms out of the hands of law-abiding citizens into the hands of the most centralized, corrupt, power-hungry groups of all, which is government. That's the thing. That's the message that doesn't get through to people for some reason.
Yeah, because the media and the confiscators are always talking about criminals. They're always talking about taking guns away from criminals and, you know, reducing accidental deaths and injuries. That's the total focus. That's the limits of the debate. No one's allowed to discuss the real purpose of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment was not added to the Constitution by our forefathers to protect the citizens against crime. It was added there for one purpose, and that's to protect them from totalitarian governments.
Yes, yes.
Their own governments. They were leery that their own government might someday become tyrannical, and so therefore they said the people must be armed so that the people will have the ultimate control over their own government. Well, who talks about that today?
Well, maybe we should support disarmament of the government. I mean, we should put, you know, hey, I'd feel a lot safer with firearms in the hands of sheriffs and sheriff's deputies all across the country and not in the hands of, let's say, some renegade ATF agents. Not that they're all bad, but there are a lot of renegade ATF agents out there. But how about this? Are you willing to take a call from a police officer who's on the line?
Why, sure.
All right, let's go to James in Tennessee, law enforcement. James, you're on the air here with Mike Adams and Ed Griffin. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. How are y'all doing today?
Doing good. What's on your mind?
Well, you made a statement earlier about all police officers not being bad, and I think that's pretty much common knowledge. There should be anyway, and Mr. Griffin knows that I happen to have been in for a little while. I'm not as old as some of the guys that I work with. But most of your younger guys are the ones that are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan that are coming into the police forces and sheriff's departments. You know, they have programmed these guys. And not all of them, but I've run into a few. And, you know, I was saying that some people just can't be reached. they've effectively walled them off. And that will be one of the biggest threats that I see.
So what are you saying? That they come back with a mindset of just do anything and kill and it's like they can't think for themselves? Or what exactly, how does that look to you when you see these guys?
Well, you know, it's really weird because, you know, being raised in a law enforcement / military family, so to speak, over the years, you see these guys and you think, you know, when I got into the business, it was God, family, country, or God, country, family, and that kind of thing. You want to do good by your fellow citizens and your brothers and sisters, and that seems to be missing. That seems to be the element that's missing is just a compassion. You know, they've been desensitized, I guess you might say, to killing.
Yeah,
desensitized. And not that they're all running around saying that, but you can pick up on those little nuances when you get into certain situations. You know, they may be a little quicker to shoot than, you know, use the 40 cal on their hip instead of the taser. Or something of that nature. I've seen it in different places, not just where I'm at, different places.
Okay, good, good points, James. Thank you for your call. Ed, your comments on that caller.
Well, yes, that's been my observation, too. Of course, I was in the military. Fortunately, I was never called upon to go into actual combat, but I was kind of braced for it. And I can recall at the time that I had actually gone through basic training to condition my mind to follow orders, not to question anything. And, of course, that's necessary in any military. I realize that. But I was prepared that if somebody said, see that group over there, that's the enemy, go kill them. I was prepared to say, well, my officer said that's the enemy, and my orders are to go kill the enemy. That's the patriotic thing to do, because I'm fighting for my country and my family and everything. But I was prepared to actually do that. Of course, I didn't know nothing, as they say, at the time of what really was going on in the world. I was there because I was, you know, I love my country, and that was the patriotic thing to do. And but now, in retrospect, I'm a lot older, and I've seen that there are hidden agendas quite often behind wars, and even hidden agendas behind local police actions.
Sure.
There are sometimes hidden agendas down at the local police and sheriff level, too.
Well, Ed, let me ask you this question. What about the pharmaceutical influence on these young minds? Because this is the first generation of soldiers that is actually deployed with mandatory mind-altering drugs. And I know you're well-versed on big pharma and the cancer cover-ups, the cancer industry, corruption, things like that. Do you think that their minds are being rewired, literally, with the chemicals that they're now being given on deployment?
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. And I think it's just an extension of the mind conditioning that was done through training. In the old days, it was just done through exposure, training, repetition, and mental programs, educational programs, whatever you want to call them. But now they've added the element of drugs themselves. And gosh, it's a frightening thing, because I know that most of these shootings that we find in schools, they're done by kids that have been given these
SSRIs and antidepressants.
Right, yeah, they're all supposedly attention deficit disorder kids or something like that, and this just blows their minds. It pushes them over the edge into either suicidal or homicidal.
Well, it's not unusual today for a soldier to be on six different pharmaceuticals during active duty. And you notice sometimes when they go crazy and they kill a bunch of civilians out there in a local village, those people are almost always on psychotropic drugs, and usually sometimes half a dozen, like a chemical cocktail. But you got to think, maybe they come back and they are so detached that they can't even see what they're doing to their own brothers and sisters, their own neighbors in their own country anymore.
Yeah, right.
It's
that their mind is, they're incapable of coming to judgment, independent judgment. And they've been trained to do that. They've been conditioned to do that. And I really fear those people, but I also feel sorry for them.
Sure.
Nevertheless, if they're ordered to come over and pick you and me up and throw us in the truck and take us out wherever we have to go and eliminate us, that's what they would do.
They would absolutely do that. Let's go to another caller who's on the line, and I'll ask for your comments, Ed. Tango from Georgia. U.S. Army is the designation I'm getting here. Tango, go ahead, please. You're on the show. What's on your mind?
Well, thanks for taking my call, first of all. One thing I did want to touch on real quick is sort of on subject. When you join any military service in this country, you take an oath, and it's an oath that I think these kids nowadays need to remember. You take an oath to protect the people of the United States and the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And that's something that I take very seriously. When I was, first then, it really didn't hit me as hard as it did when I was out. I battled with depression for about a year once I got out from the withdrawal from the drugs y'all were just talking about. I was suicidal for a long time. But I'm over that now, and I'm trying to get the word out there. I also worked for a security company just recently, and this is to touch on another subject about the TSA outsourcing to private security companies. That just happened to the company that I worked for. I just quit yesterday. I told my boss outright that it was against my moral compass to do such a thing.
Wow, you're rare then, because most people just go along with the tyranny.
Absolutely not. No, I'm over it, man. I'm ready to take up arms, to be honest with you. And I hope there are a lot of other ex-soldiers out there just like me who are ready to do the same and fight for this country and for the ideals that the Founding Fathers tried to instill. But, I mean, I've also been witness. I mean, I was stationed at Fort Benning. I've been witness to these drills that y'all are talking about, the weapons confiscation drills. I've been witness to the land seizure drills where the terrorists, the so-called terrorists, quote-unquote, are men dressed in overalls with John Deere hats.
Right, right. You've seen it firsthand. It's a lot of good information. Let me ask for Ed's comments on what you're just saying there.
Well, I haven't had that firsthand experience in the military, but I know it goes on. And yeah, so the impact is on the young soldier that's being recruited, and he's being told that he's serving his country by learning how to do these things. He's impressed by that. He gets a paycheck, and if he does his job well, he gets a medal for his right on his chest.
All right, we got to go to break here, Ed.
What else is there?
Stay with us, please. More continuing straight ahead on here on the Alex Jones Show with Ed Griffin and calls of military and law enforcement with knowledge of gun confiscation. Stay with us.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
If you're just joining us, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in for Alex today. Thanks for continuing with us. We've got G. Edward Griffin on the line from RealityZone.com, one of the top freedom fighters and liberty advocates in our world today. We've had callers who are active duty law enforcement and military giving us information about gun confiscation. We've got other callers on the line, but I want to ask Ed this question. There's an event coming up August 18. It's called Lemonade Freedom Day 2012. This is brand new. I don't think anyone's covered this yet. The website is lemonadefreedom.com, and this is an attempt to show that selling lemonade from your lemonade stand should not be a crime, as it is being increasingly considered by law enforcement all across the country. Ed Griffin, your thoughts on lemonade freedom?
Well, I like the idea. I like the fact that there's enough indignation out there at the grassroots level for people to even consider that. But, you know, I have to say that putting yourself out there and saying, come arrest me for selling lemonade, as much as I admire that, I would like to think that people will put in an equal amount of effort and time and money to try and re-elect those stupid local politicians that pass ordinances like that and get to the root of the problem, which is it's not that the police are being told to go enforce stupid ordinances, but it's because stupid ordinances have been passed in the first place by collectivists who don't understand what America is all about. So I always try to go to the source of the problem, not the problem itself. And the source of the problem is that we're electing the wrong people.
I agree with you, completely agree. And I'm trying to understand, what is the mindset of those who think gun confiscation from citizens is a great idea? Because let's face it, there's a significant percentage of the country that somehow believes that. What do they imagine, that when all the people are disarmed and only the government has all the guns, that they're going to be safer? How do they think that?
They actually do. I have some personal friends that I just think the world of them. They're very nice people, but that's their attitude. They think every time something happens, there's an accident, a little child gets killed by a gun accidentally, or some shooter goes into a school and kills a bunch of kids, they focus on that and say, look, you see, the problem there was guns. If those people didn't have guns, they think, but none of these crimes would take place. And they might be right that some crimes might not be committed if there were no guns out there, but there would be more crimes committed if there were no guns out there. I have a little slogan I've used for years. I say, you know, guns are dangerous. People get killed with guns. You know, guns, there are accidents with guns. Guns are very dangerous. The only thing more dangerous than having guns is not having.
Well, and also I love how people who think we should all be disarmed, when they have a problem, when they have an intruder hiding in the bushes outside their house, what do? They pick up the phone to call men with guns to come solve their problem.
Yeah.
You know, I just say, take out the middleman. Let's do it ourselves. We're here in Texas. We can defend our own homes against crazy people and looters. I mean, that's an American right.
Yeah. Well, you see, they like to paint people like you and me as some kind of wild killers under the skin.
Yahoos.
Just hardly wait to kill somebody, you know.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Well, I fired a lot of guns when I was in the military, a little bit little practice since I came out, and they kind of jar me a little bit, but I think they're very important for every family to have. You know, just the great equalizer, as they say.
Well, yeah, this is what gives a 110-pound grandma the ability to stand her ground against a 250-pound thug who wants to steal her purse.
That's right.
It is the great equalizer. Well, Ed Griffin, I really appreciate you being on the show today. Ed Griffin from RealityZone.com. Check out his website, folks, to learn more about his philosophies and lots of information. Ed, great to have you on. Thanks for joining
us. Thanks a lot, Mike. Talk to you later.
Yeah, you bet.
Bye.
A great, great freedom champion right there, folks. There goes Ed Griffin. And we'll be back here on the Alex Jones Show. A lot more straight ahead, including an interview with a big pharma whistleblower in the next hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are into the second hour. Thanks for joining us yet again. This is Mike Adams filling in for Alex Jones. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. And it is Tuesday, July 17th, 2012. Just had a great segment with Ed Griffin there and a lot of talk about the gun confiscation that has already taken place in America and that could take place in the months ahead if anything goes down out of the ordinary. We've got callers on the line. If you'd like to join us, we're taking calls today from military and law enforcement personnel who have firsthand knowledge and experience of gun confiscation, either drills or active missions. And that 800 number is 1-800-259-9231. Yes, I finally got that memorized after reading it off the sheet for so many times. That 1-800-259-9231. Now, for some other news, and by the way, straight ahead, at the bottom of this hour, we've got that whistleblower who was a former employee of GlaxoSmithKline. He and his coworker were the two people who took information to the government that resulted in Glaxo paying a $3 billion fine. Yes, $3 billion, the largest in the history of medicine. But here's some other news that might interest you. And by the way, we will go to callers in the next segment. But first, check this out. The IRS has no legal basis to collect the Affordable Care Act tax, Obamacare, in other words. It's all an act. This is the headline that we've got. This is up on Infowars.com. It's a naturalnews.com story by Ethan Huff. And the thrust of it is that even though the IRS is now put in charge of collecting this penalty, well, now they call it a penalty, but of course it's a tax, right? The IRS has no legal ability to collect this penalty. And in fact, all they can do is send you threatening letters and try to intimidate you into voluntarily paying it. How's that for interesting? I guess some people would argue that the entire income tax is voluntary, but that's probably a whole different show. In any case, the only way that the IRS can actually get this money from you legally under current law and regulations is to take it out of your withholdings. In other words, to not send it back to you. So this is another great reason to not have the IRS take as much money out of your paycheck every month and then send you back a refund at the end of the year, because that's how they can then have leverage over you for the Obamacare penalty. Now, I'm on the record saying that I refuse to participate in this. I refuse to buy healthcare in the corrupt mafia medical system. I refuse to pay the IRS this penalty. But I guess they're just going to probably take it out of my withholdings and there's nothing that I can do about it. That's the reality that we're facing in America. But I will not voluntarily participate in this corrupt criminal medical system. That's bottom line. If they take it out of my filings because I do file taxes, that's a battle that I don't wish to deal with right now. You know, I'm not a tax protester person. So I do pay taxes. If they take it out, then I guess I just have to write it off as another loss to the corrupt police state for a service that I will never use, because I don't go visit doctors. I'm in perfect health. Here's my medicine right here. You see this? I'm famous for bringing these jars onto the show. This is my superfood. This is what I eat. It's high mineral nutrition, phytonutrients, plant-based nutrition, man. This is what keeps me going. This is why I'm healthy, why I don't have diabetes. Just for those of you who may not know me that well, I used to be borderline diabetic, type 2, right on the edge of it. I used to be borderline obese. I used to have chronic pain. I used to have depression and high cholesterol, all those things. That was like, I don't know, 12 years ago now. And how did I get healthy and stayed healthy? It's nutrition. It wasn't doctors. It wasn't Obama's healthcare system. It wasn't vaccines. I haven't been vaccinated in well over 20 years maybe now. I don't know the exact number. And I wish I was never vaccinated, frankly. But, you know, if God wanted us to have vaccines, he wouldn't have given us an immune system, right? All right, a lot more. Stay with us here on The Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back with more calls and more news straight ahead. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are well into the second hour here on The Alex Jones Show. Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, editor of naturalnews.com, filling in today. And of course, we're at the Infowars.com studios here in Austin, Texas. Thank you for joining us. It's always great to be here and to reach out to you with all this incredible information. I always love Infowars callers too. They're so well informed. You know, if there's anywhere that I would want to just hang out with really cool people, it would be at an Infowars event, because I know you could just talk to people about reality. You know, you don't have to deal with delusions. You don't have to deal with people who are uninformed. It's just talking about reality. And that's sort of what I left off with there in the last segment, is this quote that I'm fond of saying. You know, again, if God wanted us to take vaccines, he wouldn't have given us an immune system. And there's a lot of people find that funny, but it's true. You know, why do you have an immune system? Because you're supposed to survive. You're supposed to have that blueprint for health and vitality. And you're supposed to feed it right with nutrition, with minerals, with, you know, vitamins and nutrients and real food, not with GMOs and vaccines and chemicals and hormones and antibiotics and all those things. I don't mean to segue into health too much, because we've got so much other news here, but it is important. And by the way, I prepared another quote, and see if we can show that on screen for the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Another quote, because I believe in divine truth, divine rights. Here's another quote I put together. If our creator did not want us to be free, he would not have given us free will. Now think about that for a minute, and think about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the divine inspiration of those documents. Why is the First Amendment a divine right? Why is the Second Amendment a divine right? You might be asking, whoa, how can that be a divine right? Well, look around you. Look around you in nature. If you go see a cactus plant, for example, that cactus plant has its own Second Amendment rights, the right to keep and bear spines. And the spines protect the little cactus plant from predators. And the spines are nature's way of saying, leave me alone. Let me just grow here in my own space and mind my own business. And that is common throughout nature. You see defenses in plants and animals and so on. It is a divine truth to have the right to defend yourself, to protect yourself, your family, your children, your community, your neighborhood. That is a divine right. It is granted to us by our creator. It is not something that we have to go begging the king to give us because he feels like we should have it for that day or that week or that year. It is a divine right, and it cannot be taken away from us. And free speech is the same way. It's a divine right to have that freedom of expression. You see that again reflected throughout nature, in plants and animals, and in just patterns of nature throughout the cosmos. Freedom of expression is really a reflection of the intent of God and the Creator. I'm not going to get preachy on you here. I just want to share that, you know. There is a divine element behind everything that we do here. When we talk about freedom of speech, when we talk about the right to defend yourself against aggressors and against violent criminals, those are divine rights, and we will not give them up, not under any circumstances. If you're an info warrior out there and you enjoy this show, remember, we do not give up these rights. We do not surrender what is divine in our lives. Oh, they're showing some cactus right there on the screen. Yes, some succulents on screen. Thank you for that, for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. All right, I want to go to some more callers right now. I've got tons of other news, but I actually think the callers are more important than this other news right now. So So the phones are all, wow. Okay, let's go to Chad in Long Island, former Army. Chad, thank you for your call, and you're on the show here on the Alex Jones Show. Go ahead, sir. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Mr. Adams?
I'm doing great. Thank you for calling in. Great to hear your voice.
Great to hear you, sir. One, I just want to say to all the veterans and all the police and all the first responders, remember your oath. That's number one. Number two, how can you vilify a tool? That's like a carpenter saying a hammer's bad because he hit his hand. A gun is nothing more than a tool. It's the person that uses it is evil, not the tool itself. And that's what we need to remember, and we need to instill that in our children, is that you can't blame tools for all the problems in the world. You have to blame the individuals.
That's right. We've got to have the ethics. We've got to have the morals. We have to have that personal responsibility, which is, again, taught in many religions. It's a code of ethics that makes society more peaceful. And you're right, that tool can be used to protect life, to defend life. Why do people think cops carry guns? To stop violence. I mean, that's the way they're trained, to stop the violence, using the threat of force against someone who doesn't have those ethics. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes, I definitely would agree with that. And I think that also we as citizens need to weed out the people that are in authority that have those guns and use the authority to brutalize and step on the necks of the poor people of this world.
Oh, of course. You know? Of course, we can't tolerate corruption. We can't tolerate bad cops. Absolutely.
Exactly. I mean, my thing is, I personally believe, Mr. Adams, and this is just my personal belief, I think there should be all across this country citizens groups that police the police for the corrupt police that are in these neighborhoods and in these communities. Because where I live in Long Island, it is corruption like you would not believe. I mean, they have illegal roadblocks all the time. Meanwhile, you got prostitutes down the street. You got drug dealers down the street, and they do nothing to these people. But yet, they want to check people's registrations, make sure you got your seatbelt on.
Oh, I know.
Mr. Nanny guarding you all the time.
Think about it. Like in L.A. County or Ventura County in California, they use the sheriff's deputies to go out and raid at gunpoint the raw milk sellers. Meanwhile, the drug dealers and the violent criminals down the street are completely unmolested oftentimes because there's such a shortage of law enforcement. Great call, Chad. Really appreciate your thoughts. Let's go to Ray in Virginia, former Army. Is that correct, Ray?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Okay, Mike, is it?
yes, sir, Mike Adams.
Okay, Mike, I want to kind of chastise you for some of the terminology you use when you're talking about military and police and all that, in the sense that I hear patriots all the time saying that all the cops, military, are not bad, okay?
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead.
All right. Understand something. The global corporation is here, okay? And we're simply working for a corporation in any status we have in it, okay, as we live, all right? And I tell you, there ain't no way you can quit your job. Like, if you work for IBM and you didn't like company policy, theoretically you can quit, okay? But this global corporation, IBM, all these other small companies, you know, whatever, they're just subsidiaries of the global corporation.
Yeah,
okay?
But what I mean is that I know a lot of law enforcement. I know sheriff's deputies, for example. They have said they will not participate in, for example, gun confiscation. They have boundaries that are based on their own ethics, their own respect for life and liberty. I'm not saying, you know, some of them have those boundaries and some of them don't, obviously. And I just don't want to paint all law enforcement as bad people, because they're absolutely not. I know a lot of guys that will defend rights when it comes down to it. Are you saying that if they work for law enforcement, they're automatically tied into that global system? Or what exactly are you saying, sir?
Okay, let me deal with the word cop or a police. When I was a child, they were still called peace officers.
Yeah,
okay?
Right, you're right.
All right. Now, what would you expect from a peace officer if you've seen where a situation might get out of control, where some damage could take place, you would expect him to come and restore peace.
Keep the peace. That's it.
All right. Now, what do you think is, why did they morph this thing over into calling them policemen for? They're going to police you, man. You know?
You know, you're right about that. We should say police officer or a peace officer. See, I did it again. We should say peace officer. And in fact, Alex is good at this, reminding us that they are the servants, that they serve the people. So you're absolutely right about that point. I really appreciate that. Peace officer. We will keep that in mind. I appreciate your call. It could be an interesting conversation, but I want to give room to other callers, but I will keep that in mind. Peace officer. Yes, got it. Sam in California from the Air Force, it says, go ahead, Sam, you're on the air.
Hey, Mike, can you hear me good?
Yeah, you're coming through just fine. Go ahead.
Awesome. Okay, one quick comment and then a very short story, hopefully fairly short. Anyway, if guns kill people, then pencils misspell words, and we should confiscate all the pencils.
Well, pencils can stab people, too, so I think you're right. We should confiscate all pencils, especially the sharp ones. Those are the dangerous ones.
So in 2007, I reread George Orwell's 1984. Because I was seeing things happening that reminded me of it, so I figured I should read it again. Well, it chilled me to the bone because of the parallels I saw with what's going on in our society today. And then now, since then, it seems like I can't go through a day without listening to some radio show and not hear other people saying the same thing that I saw. That we are now living in George Orwell's 1984.
Yes, if not worse.
It's chilling to the bone. It truly is. And for years now, I've had a sinking feeling in my stomach, a lot like Alex says, that the worst is yet to come.
Well, you and me both, brother. I feel the same thing, and you know, we being beings who have compassion for other humans, for other. Our brothers and sisters all across the planet, we don't want to see bloodshed. We don't want to see suffering. We don't want to see loss of freedom. That's why we're here, man. That's why we want to see liberty. We want to see peace. We want to see achievement by humanity. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, we do. And when I see what's going on in Syria, and they're doing that in our name, makes me sick. It makes me truly sick. I cry.
Yeah, it makes me sick, too. I mean, war is sick. It is a sickness. It is a psychosis of power-hungry tyrants who run the world governments. And I appreciate your call. We got to go to break here. But you're right. War is the desire to have power and dominion over others is a kind of mental disorder. Maybe we should have a new FDA pharmaceutical treat that. I'm joking. But we'll be right back. Stay with us, okay? Right back. You know, I was really struck by the linguistic reminder of one of the previous callers. He's exactly right. We've got to be careful about what language we use because that language goes right into your brain and becomes a kind of truth. Your brain interprets language and makes it real even when it's not real. And this is why we get phrases. I wrote down some notes during the break. This is why we get phrases. Oh, and by the way, if you're just joining us, this is the Alex Jones Show. This is Mike Adams filling in for Alex today. He'll be back tomorrow, by the way. But one of the phrases we often hear in the mainstream media is, of course, gun violence. This is a linguistic trick. It's trying to link guns with the word violence. But was there actually gun violence? Is there such a thing? Violence has to be an act with an intent. And a gun can't have any intent because it has no free will. So you don't see, for example, if there's a machete type of massacre somewhere in some other developing nation, you don't hear them come on the air and say, well, there was these people were victims of machete violence. Or if somebody gets stabbed with a knife, you don't hear on the news, oh, there's knife violence. You don't hear that. They only use that phrase for guns. But they don't report all the people that were protected by them. So what about the phrase gun protection? So instead of, you know, what about, let's say, an elderly person, Mrs. Parkerson, whose the break-in to her house was prevented by a neighbor with a concealed carry permit, and Mrs. Parker was therefore a beneficiary of gun protection. You never hear that on the news. That's not news. They won't report that. Even though that happens maybe, who knows, hundreds of times more often than somebody actually becoming a, quote, victim of being shot by somebody with bad intent. So we got to watch these words. So gun violence is a brain trick. That phrase is a trick. And gun protection is actually far more common. Now, some other terms, of course, is a peace officer, like the caller mentioned. He's right about that. Instead of law enforcement, we should refer to them as peace officers. And also, instead of public officials or authorities, we should refer to people in the government as public servants. So you got that? These are the three phrases that I want to encourage us all to use, all of you listening out there who want to be informed and tell the truth using accurate language. We have gun protection when firearms are used in the protection of life and property, and that happens very often. We want to use the phrase peace officer to refer to cops, police, law enforcement, and so on, peace officer. And then we want to use the phrase public servants when we're talking about bureaucrats, authorities, you know, enforcers of codes and things like that. But of course, again, on the mainstream media, you're going to get the spin of all this. You're going to get gun violence. You're going to get police officers, like they're supposed to police you. And then you're going to get government authorities as if they are the authorities over you and your life. It's all an act, okay? It's all just a facade, a linguistic little mind trick that they use to try to convince you that something is real when it isn't. The truth is that your rights are granted to you by the Creator. They are described by the Bill of Rights. They are then selected powers are delegated to a government for the sole purpose of serving the interests and the protection of life and liberty of the people. That's the way it works. And anybody who tells you otherwise is psychotic, insane, crazy, evil, deceptive, trying to trick you, trying to take your power, trying to take your money. Anybody who says the government is the powerful entity and then they grant you the people rights, that person is a dangerous person and doesn't belong in America, period. They should leave the country, go to some communist regime, go join North Korea for all I care. You can give up your guns, give up your free speech, give up your rights. You can go to North Korea and live in a country where the barbed wire keeps you in. And you can worship the latest version of Kim Jong-il, whoever that happens to be, generation after generation. Yeah, just bow down on the ground, lick their boots, and do your little fake cry for how much you love living under total tyranny. Otherwise, if you want to live in America, you should honor American rights and values and that sacred freedom and liberty that makes America great. And there's no more excuses for any of it. I'm tired of the linguistic mind games. I'm tired of the doublespeak from Obama and Romney the same. I'm tired of just the lies that keep coming out of Washington. It's just too much. I'm just sick of it. So let's tell the truth. And that's what we practice doing right here on Infowars.com. And of course, I'm happy to be here and be part of that. Now, coming up after the coming break, we've got a great truth teller, a whistleblower, a former employee of GlaxoSmithKline, the company that just pleaded guilty to criminal fraud and ended up paying a $3 billion fine. Yeah, billion to the U.S. government. Kind of wonder where that money goes, by the way. Who gets the $3 billion? Whose budget does that go into? They don't tell you that. But anyway, we're going to have an interview with him, Blair Hamrick, coming up right after this break. Lots of incredible details about the bribery of doctors and much more. It'll blow your mind. But don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place.
All right, we're continuing here on the Alex Jones Show. Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in for Alex today. Thanks for continuing with us. We have a worldwide exclusive for national radio interview coming up for you right now. The interview is with Blair Hamrick. He is one of the two people, the other is Gregory Thorpe, who were former employees of GlaxoSmithKline. And Blair, in particular, was a drug rep. And as he began to see some, I'll say, not quite so above the board activities going on inside the company, he raised the alarm. And he ended up losing his job and has been out of work for many, many years. We'll talk about that. And ended up turning information over to the Department of Justice, which then reached a $3 billion settlement with GlaxoSmithKline. That was widely distributed or widely publicized in the last week or so. And it's the largest settlement in the history of Big Pharma. Now, Blair joins us now here on the Alex Jones Show to give us details about what he saw going on inside the company. This will give you a clue about the runaway criminality that exists today in what I call mafia medicine. And Blair Hamrick joins us by Skype video to give us the details. Blair, welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
Hey, Mike. Nice to be here. Thanks a lot for having me.
You bet. It's great to have you on. Now, give us just a quick background for the many listeners across the country and around the world about your how did you start out with Glaxo? I mean, what position did you have there?
I started out with Glaxo as a sales rep. Just a sales rep calling on primary care physicians. After a couple of years with the company, I was promoted to what was called a therapeutic area specialist. What that is basically you call on specialists, more specifically neurologists, doctors who have not your primary care guys, but your specialist. And my job essentially was recruiting these specialists to speak to other physicians about Glaxo products.
Now, I know that we spoke before, and I asked you about the kickbacks and the bribery to doctors. I know that in that position as a specialist, one of your jobs was to recruit doctors and make sure they were paid very well to go on speaking gigs. You told me they could make as much as $2,000 for a 30-minute speech promoting a drug to other physicians. Tell us about how that worked.
Well, how that works is, depending on how desirable the physician is, interestingly enough, there's a website where people can look and see if your personal physician is in the pocket of Big Pharma. It's called ProPublica.com. And you can, now it only goes back for about a year. Of course, pharma doesn't want to disclose what they've been paying the physicians before that. But anyway, it's based upon how desirable the speaker is, meaning how well thought of he was, or if they were a high writer, if they wrote a lot of prescriptions, if they had a lot of business. And it could be anywhere from $500 a talk to $2,500 was one of the most that one of my physicians got.
But they could stack these. They could have multiple talks in one day. I remember you saying, so they could they could rack up, let's say, $6,000 in one day. And it was so lucrative for some doctors, these kickbacks, that they actually stopped seeing patients in their own practice and just became sort of professional speakers making all this money.
Right. Well, I mean, as I told you before, I mean, some of these offices I would go, I'm sorry about the dog barking.
It's all right. He's enthusiastic about this, too.
Yeah, she sure is. Anyway, a lot of these, many times I'd walk into offices and doctor like, oh, you're the guy who sets up the programs. Can you get me a gig? These docs, they would all their travel was paid for. They would schedule them for sometimes a breakfast meeting, a lunch meeting, and a dinner meeting all in one day. And so they get three honorariums is what they call it. And so they get three of their speaking fees.
So this was characterized by the Department of Justice as a system of kickbacks. And it really is generally just called bribery. It seems like these doctors were being financially incentivized or sort of paid as a, quote, speaking gig when they would write higher prescriptions for the GlaxoSmithKline drugs. But a lot of these doctors really in the open market wouldn't command those kinds of speaking fees. And often they would just speak to maybe six people at a time or things like that. Is that correct?
That's correct. I even had one physician. We flew to Louisiana and he wanted me to go with him. And he spoke to one physician. So there was five drug reps, one physician, the doctor that I brought in, and we went to a fish camp in Louisiana. And I don't recall what his honorarium was at the time, but it was a nice weekend for him to go home to his hometown. And it's a pretty pretty nasty business. I mean, it's, you know, and as I said, you know, if you read ProPublica, you can see that there's guys still making a lot of money doing this.
Well, yeah, one doctor, this came out in the Department of Justice lawsuit or settlement documents. One doctor was paid, I believe, around $2 million. It also came out that another celebrity radio doctor had received, I think, $275,000. That was reported in the Wall Street Journal. And that he then went on the air and discussed, I think, intimacy or depression during intimacy, but failed to disclose to his audience that he was taking money from the drug company.
That's right. I think that was Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew. And he was discussing intimacy and depression because many of the SSRIs have sexual side effects, a decreased libido. And so what Glaxo decided to do was that because Wellbutrin's not an SSRI, they decided to promote it to increase libido. And that's when they came up with that catchphrase, the happy, horny, skinny drug. These are chemical compounds that are very dangerous and they're not toys. You know, it's not a game. And unfortunately, the company just seems very cavalier in the way that they handled it.
Now, you told me in a previous conversation, and folks, you can check out some of these quotes on naturalnews.com. Also on Infowars.com, I'm sure these quotes will be there. Remind the guys to post that from our site. That most of the slideshows that these physicians used during their speeches, for which they were receiving pretty big dollars, some of them or most of them actually came from the company marketing departments.
And that's correct.
So essentially, the company would hand them money, pay their airfare, set up the hotel, and then give them a PowerPoint presentation to go out and speak?
That's correct. Give them a PowerPoint presentation. And then, you know, it was one of the jobs of the representative, because there would always be a representative or manager at these conferences or these continuing medical education, a little tongue in cheek there.
Right. But just along those lines, this kind of quote education is required by state medical licensing boards for doctors to keep their licenses. They have to go and submit themselves to this kind of propaganda, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's a big facade. It's absolutely a facade. And, at some point in time, myself and Greg Thorpe, just said, you know, this is wrong. And if a child has, a seizure because of the drug that we're promoting is given to a child when it's not even indicated, it's for 18 and above. It's clearly stated in the package insert. It's not for children. Who's at fault there? And where does the buck stop?
Right. I have that question for you. What caused you to stand up and speak out when most people would be happy to have a cushy job? I mean, you've been out of work. I think you were blackballed by the pharmaceutical industry. I know you're not claiming that, but that's just what it looks like to me. You've been out of work for now, what, 10 years during this battle?
I've had some odd jobs, since then, but, on all intents and purposes, I have never financially recovered. When I left the company, I was making about $140,000 a year. Because of pending litigation, I can't discuss.
Yeah, I understand.
I can't discuss the circumstances that led to my dismissal.
Sure. And by the way, the law firm, I want to give a shout out to Kenny and McCafferty out of Philadelphia. That law firm specializes in whistleblower cases, and they took on your case and they achieved quite an amazing victory, the largest settlement in the history. And that law firm specializes in fraud cases, medical fraud, sometimes tax fraud. I see your dog very much approves of that as well.
Yeah. I wish I could, I know we're under time constraints, or I'd go and try to get her to stifle. I apologize. Izzy!
It's right. Let me throw in a comment here. Yeah, go if you want to do that.
Let me grab the dog. I'm sorry.
Let me throw in some comments here while you're doing that. We'll have better audio clarity for everybody. But you know, folks, this is real radio. This is live radio. And Blair Hamrick, you know, that's where he lives. He gave up a cushy job. It could have been a very wealthy situation for him. He gave that up to tell the truth, to blow the whistle, so that he could then help protect other people from this kind of thing going on. And by the way, he told me in a previous interview that at the time he left GlaxoSmithKline, they had over 40,000 speakers on their speakers bureau. So just as we were talking about this, you know, $2,000 for 30 minutes that the doctors were getting paid as, quote, kickbacks, It turns out there were more than 40,000. The court documents revealed there were 49,000 speakers on Glaxo's speakers bureau, which, again, even the Department of Justice characterizes as a kind of an elaborate network of kickbacks that Glaxo has pleaded guilty to conducting. This is not a debate. It's not like Glaxo is denying this. They have pleaded guilty to this, and they said we're gonna make some changes. We're gonna do better. But this they pleaded guilty to criminal fraud. Go ahead, Blair.
One of the things that's interesting, and why I'm not with the company anymore, and I've been away for a while, so I can't attest to what's going on currently. But you know, you're talking about compounds. You know, right now in the newspaper, you know, they made a big to do about stopping paying their reps on market share and going to educating physicians, and that's how they're going to start paying their reps. But how much can you educate a physician on a compound that's 30 years old or 25 years old? I mean, you've got a drug like, for instance, Advair, that is a new compound, but it's basically two very old compounds together.
That's right.
So how much more education is a person with a business degree going to give a physician that did 10 years of school on a compound that's 25 years old?
Well, that's a really good point. And, you know, the drug companies are desperate to try to come up with new combinations that they then spin as being breakthrough drugs when, like you described, they're really the same old chemicals, just sort of repackaged. But let's talk about off-label marketing and marketing to children, because this is something else that Glaxo pleaded guilty to.
That's correct.
They admitted that they were illegally or in violation of FDA regulations, I should say, marketing these drugs to children that were never approved for children, never even tested for children, no safety record for children. Give us the lowdown on that, Blair, as the insider who saw it firsthand.
Well, sure. I mean, you're talking about drugs where just a percent market share can mean a huge sum of money. So, you know, the company was very concerned about patent expirations on these compounds, and they were trying to squeeze every penny they could. So, they would say Wellbutrin or Paxil, they were trying to squeeze every penny they could. So they were trying to find new avenues to generate more money. And, you know, one of the things that you got to ask yourself is, like, when you are selling off label to a child, you know, the package insert has dosing and administration. Well, what do you tell a doctor, you know, who's going to use it on a 12-year-old? I mean, how do you tell them to dose it?
Well,
there's some inherent dangers with that.
But just to be clear, Blair, so when you were in meetings with your managers being trained on how to approach doctors and what to say, I just want to be clear, were they telling you specifically, you push this drug for children, you know, wink, wink? Or how did that go down? What actually took place?
Well, sure. Absolutely. In fact, you can look in some of the court documents. There's some documents about to the effect that that show that they were wanting to promote Wellbutrin for children in a disease state. I don't want to say too much, but the allegations in the document are for ADHD in children. So, it was a nod, nod, wink, wink. We all, you know, there was a written set of rules, and then there were the real rules, and the real rules were basically, if you didn't sell off label, you weren't going to get the market shares. And if you didn't get the market shares, you wouldn't be employed very long.
So there was this really aggressive push. And obviously your salary was tied into probably bonuses for how many prescriptions were written by doctors off label and on label both. Is that how it worked?
That's correct. They couldn't, you know, with the way that they were tracking the prescriptions, they couldn't distinguish what was on label or what was off label. It was just get the prescriptions at whatever cost. And if, you know, and like, you know, and like that you said, if you weren't making the numbers, you were then, you know, if you were falling to the bottom half of the pool, then they would target you to and coach you to start pulling your numbers up. And so the way to get numbers up was to do speaking programs, bringing these thought, what are called thought leaders in to engage with your physicians, whether it was just bringing a doctor in for a lunch or having a dinner program. And, you know, many times, I mean, so often they would talk off label, whether, you know, whether it was for, you know, Wellbutrin for weight loss or for, you know, ADHD, for sexual dysfunction or, you know, just children and the whole gamut. I mean, it was just, so, you know, you, you would have thought that the drug should have been in the water.
well, they're trying to do that too. That's don't say that to too many people. They're going to try that.
Right.
They want to put cholesterol drugs in the water supply. That's how crazy they are. But you mentioned Wellbutrin in particular, that the catchphrase that you would repeat to doctors if you only had a minute to talk to them was the quote, happy, horny, skinny drug. And right. Yet there was no data. There was no clinical trial data whatsoever on the treating sexual dysfunction or weight loss at all, right? So that was just a fairy tale.
There may have been some shady trials or some data. You know, they also did this thing called the fax back, where you would engage with your doctor. You know, and of course you would, they would instruct you to, according to our allegations in the complaint, they would instruct you to write, you know, doctor request off-label information on whatever drug, and then you would call an 800 number.
All right, Blair,
we got to go
to a break here. Okay. Stay with us. We'll continue with you on the other side of this break. Incredible information here from an insider previously with GlaxoSmithKline. Stay with us. We'll be right back with much more straight ahead.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
All right, thanks for continuing with us here on the Alex Jones Show. Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in, and we are talking with former Glaxo employee and now whistleblower Blair Hamrick, who's one of the top two key people responsible for taking evidence to the Department of Justice that resulted in the $3 billion settlement, the largest in the history of medicine. Wow, incredible. Hey, Blair, let me ask you this. The typical uninformed consumer out there, let's say just a mainstream news watching someone who's not really informed, doesn't, for example, listen to the Alex Jones Show, so that they're not really awakened that much. That kind of person thinks, this is what they believe, and I want you to tell us why this belief is wrong if you think so, but they believe that all the drugs are meticulously tested by upstanding scientists, that it's the gold standard of evidence-based medicine, and that the FDA scrutinizes all of this information and makes sure that drugs are only approved and released to the public after just these huge in-depth studies proving their safety and efficacy, and that the drug companies, they're really out to just help humanity. And in fact, they only kind of make money accidentally. It's not their main intent. They're really just trying to help people. You know, it should be just like a big nonprofit organization is what the way they portray themselves. So what's wrong with that view of medicine today?
When they start testing it for approval, according to the FDA, a new drug only needs to show that it's better than placebo, that it works better than placebo. So there's many compounds out there that have been available for years and years and years that are available generically, that are pennies on the dollar. And these drug companies would never put these products up against those products sometimes head to head. They only put it through against placebo, because if it's better than placebo, then they get the approval. And then, whereas if they put it head to head against something that is already approved and is cheap and is efficacious and safe, then they show inferiority to that product, well, then you're taking a drug that may be $8-$9 a pill, and something that may take 3 cents a pill.
Yeah, just to rephrase what you're saying, a lot of the new drugs that are hyped up that are expensive, like you say, $8, $9, $10 a pill. Some are even more, a lot more than that, $50 a pill in some areas.
Right.
It may be an old, you know, nickel a pill drug actually works better, but that's they never run the head to head test because that would show that the new drug isn't worth the extra $10.
Right. That's correct. You know, and maybe safer. You know, I mean, there's many compounds out there. For instance, they've got Glaxo has a new product called Trexamit, which is a combination of an older product of Imitrex and naproxen. Naproxen, so I think it's either naproxen
like a or a common painkiller, yeah.
Right, and naproxen has been, that drug is like 45 years old. And Imitrex came out in 1991, I think is when that drug was launched. So there you've got a 20-year-old drug and a 40-year-old drug. They mix them together. And they call it a new drug.
Well, and then at the same time, you've got the drug companies actively interfering with the generic drug manufacturers trying to bring drugs to market for cheaper prices. I saw, for example, I think AstraZeneca just got slapped by the court for trying to engage in that. Pfizer's being sued under allegations of price fixing and monopolization to prevent a competing generic cholesterol drug from entering the market that would potentially reduce their sales of, I believe, Lipitor. So you've got these drug companies actually working against the interests of consumers. So, you know, why doesn't the FTC get involved in anti-competitive practices with these companies?
I don't know. I can't answer that question. But, you know, what I can say is that for every day that a generic stays off the market, they make tens of millions, perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars a day.
Yeah, they're making money every minute. Stay with us, Blair. Sure. Please stay with us. We're going to continue in just a minute with much more from Blair Hamrick.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, welcome to the third hour. Is it already the third hour of the Alex Jones Show? Wow, time flies when you're telling the truth, doesn't it? We're joined in this segment, continuing with Blair Hamrick, the whistleblower, former employee of GlaxoSmithKline, one of the key informants that went to the U.S. government that then took action and got a $3 billion settlement out of Glaxo. Now, we're going to continue with Blair for this segment and, in fact, for the next half hour. So I hope you can stay with us, Blair. But here's some of the stories we just spoke about. AstraZeneca tries to block generic drug approvals, gets slapped by the court, and there's just another case of pharmaceutical companies trying to interfere with free market practices that would actually benefit consumers. And this is routine. You probably weren't in that area of the company, Blair, but do you have any other knowledge about drug companies blocking generic drugs that would benefit consumers?
Well, you know, if they don't block, they can also do things like manufacture the compound for the generic companies. Many times, after the drug is made, it gets the approval generically, and they were unsuccessful. You know, usually successful at making that time a lot longer. But then when the generic finally comes out, then they'll cut a deal with the generic house to manufacture either the raw compound for them to press it into a pill, or maybe even manufacture it themselves. Sometimes sometimes they'll have two lines running at the same time, the exact same pill on each line. One's going in a generic bottle, one's going in a brand name bottle. I mean, there's a lot of malfeasance going on here.
Well, I mean, there's nothing, let's say, technically illegal about having a generic line, but where I have issues is, where are these drugs manufactured? Because I remember reading a lot of stories talking about manufacturing facilities, for example, in Puerto Rico and in India, where they would find machine parts in the pills, and they would find specks of paint from the machines.
Well, you know, Cheryl Eckert was the whistleblower in another Glaxo case about a year ago. where she was reporting malfeasance going on in Puerto Rico, where the drugs were mislabeled, all kinds of things, and even having the reports written to North Carolina in Spanish so that the people at the main office couldn't read the reports. So, unfortunately, Cheryl, because I was in sales, I'm a pretty good communicator, where Cheryl was on 60 Minutes, and she, her specialty was something else. And so she wasn't a communicator, and so she was dismissed very quickly.
Really?
But her story is significant in itself. What these companies are doing, it's a very filthy business. And, like I said to you in our last interview, I mean, what are they? They're a corporate defendant. And what's a corporate defendant? It's nothing but a table full of attorneys, justifying behaviors and making it up. When they can't justify a behavior, they just make a story up.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that in more detail. This segment is not carried by all of the radio affiliates. So when we get into the next segment, I want to ask you about CEOs being held criminally responsible, which hasn't happened yet, but I believe that should happen. And I want to get your views on that, Blair.
Sure.
How come these companies can simply admit to felony crimes, admit to fraud, admit to violating federal law, pay a fine, get away with it? Nobody gets arrested. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody goes to prison. And they just keep doing it over and over again. In this case, for example, Glaxo paid its $3 billion fine out of, quote, cash reserves.
Right.
Yeah, this company's so big. They have $3 billion sitting around. Can you imagine
that sitting around?
Hey, is there $3 billion under this table anywhere? They just pull it out, pay it to the government, and keep doing business. It's incredible. But stay with us, Blair. We got to go to a quick break, and then we'll be right back on the other side with more insider details.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We're continuing our interview with Blair Hamrick, the insider with GlaxoSmithKline. Thank you for joining us, continuing with us on the third hour of the Alex Jones Show. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, the editor of naturalnews.com, filling in. And if you want to find some documents related to this story, they're on the front page of naturalnews.com right now, by the way, a PDF that you can check out some of the court documents. I also want to apologize to the callers. We need to clear the board of callers that are in the queue right now, please, guys. And I want to invite new callers to come in to ask questions about medicine or the pharmaceuticals in particular, as we have Blair Hamrick on as a guest. And then again, I apologize to the callers who are on the board about the gun confiscation issue, but maybe we'll bring that up later in the show. Again, get back to that. The number is 1-800-259-9231. So go ahead and call in if you've got questions or comments about Big Pharma in general. Just remember, Blair can't answer your health questions, and I cannot either. We're not doctors, so please don't ask us health questions. But Blair, getting back to you, we spoke about the importance of having some corporate responsibility for these kinds of actions. Why is it that nobody's going to jail? Nobody's being arrested. The CEO of Glaxo is not being investigated or prosecuted for these crimes that his company has admitted to committing. Why is that? How does that make you feel, man?
Well, I mean, it's the veil of the corporation. I mean, a corporation is basically a sociopath, and they have so many veils of protection that and so many attorneys, nobody's going to face the music. And, unfortunately, maybe somebody in the UK will wake up. I mean, I've already heard that some prime ministers in the UK are calling for an investigation of Glaxo to see if they really have changed like they say they have. And, quite frankly, if they are a changed company, then why doesn't Glaxo HR give me a call and try to hire me back in their compliance department? I'd gladly go back to work for them in their compliance department.
I bet they would love that. You in their compliance department. But hey, who knows? Maybe that's some way they could actually show that they're serious about reforms. But here's something interesting. In the natural products industry, if a, let's say a provider of cherry supplements is investigated by the FTC for what is essentially the same as off-label marketing or making invalid marketing claims. The FTC will often go in and seize all their inventory, shut down their entire company, seize the entire customer email list, seize all the computers, all the literature, everything. This happened to the Life Extension Foundation many years ago, by the way, in an FDA raid. Mm-hmm. And then they will require the company to refund the money to every customer in the history of that company. So my question is, as someone who's covered this journalistically, why doesn't the FTC or the FDA go in and require Glaxo to refund all the money from all the sales of these drugs that they admitted to off-label fraudulent criminal marketing? And wouldn't that make sense? Refund everybody.
Right. Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, listen, one of the things, I mean, I've suffered. My family and I have suffered for me blowing the whistle, no question. But I haven't suffered nearly as much is say some mother or father whose child committed suicide because their child's doctor was marketed, you know, Paxil for off-label. I mean, I keep that in perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know. It would be a breath of fresh air if the punishment fit the crime. It really would be, because then it would be a disincentive.
And exactly.
And the companies would stop doing the behavior.
That's the issue. You just nailed it right there, Blair. It's a disincentive because right now, let's say Glaxo might have made, I'm just guessing, $30 billion off of selling these drugs. So, okay, $30 billion, they set aside $3 billion and have a stack of cash in the CEO's office, let's say. That'd be a pretty big stack, even in fiat currency. But they take the $3 billion. When they get caught, they take the $3 billion, hand it to the feds and say, we're going to keep doing business. And they never have to pay back their profits that they made illegitimately in the first place. So they just keep doing business. It's just a cost of business. It never ends.
And the way the law reads, the way the False Claims Act reads, it's supposed to be $10,000 per violation. So when you start thinking about every prescription, a $10,000 fine per violation, the company's not allowed to do business with if convicted, the company's not allowed to do business with the federal government at all.
Well, and that's the other thing.
Pfizer setting up the dummy corporation to take the fall. You know, it's all smoke and mirrors.
Why does Medicare and Medicaid keep doing business with these companies that admit to felony crimes? Why does Obamacare force us to do business with these companies by forcing us to buy into a health insurance system? And I know your thoughts on, you know, you like the fact that everybody needs some kind of health care safety net. I understand that.
Right.
But shouldn't we have a choice and not be forced to do business with criminal companies?
I concur with that completely. I think that, you know, like our education system, everyone has a right to a basic high school education.
Right.
I think that you know, everyone should be able to get, you know, health care, but I don't think, you know, the way what's been proposed is the right way to go about it.
No, look, I used to live in Taiwan, and that's where I went out of college because we're in an economic recession at that time. And there they have a healthcare system that is kind of a government run system, but it's dirt cheap. An employer at that time, literally they were paying about $4 a month per employee for full coverage. $4 a month. Now today that might be $20 a month, but imagine if US employers only had to pay $20 a month for each employee. I don't think there would be much debate about that. Part of the problem with Obamacare is that it's so expensive, it bankrupts the companies. It bankrupts families, and now it's going to be hit with a tax. I mean, I didn't mean to get you into the political issue, Blair, but you know, the criminality of the drug companies becomes an issue when we're forced to do business with those companies.
Right. I mean, you wouldn't do business with a known criminal if you could help it. I mean, you
absolutely
just
not.
And you know, one of the things that's interesting you brought up is the number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States is medical bills.
That's right.
Medical bills. And I don't remember what the percentage was, but it's like of those people who declare bankruptcy, many of them have insurance. So, I mean, just because you have insurance doesn't guarantee that they're not going to come after you and bankrupt you.
Well said, Blair. Let's go to some calls. We've got callers on the line, and let's go to Cindy in Iowa first. Cindy, you're on the air. Go ahead. What's your question?
Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for having this guest. I work at a research facility that has all the companies that y'all have named. I wanted to say that I don't think the efficacy of a lot of the drugs can be, you know, pure as they're reporting to the FDA when we perform procedures on subjects that they do these studies for a living, and you're supposed to have a 30-day washout, but yet they do, because there's not like a main database to show all the research places who has done a study, people will do it with those drugs in their system because of money and the financial benefit way before 30 days. And I know this because I've been working at this facility over 10 years, and I've heard, you know, subjects talk. And so that is so, to me, how in this age of, you know, technology, how can that be going on? Because that's the efficacy and what y'all were talking about, the safetiness of these drugs.
So you're saying about the 30-day washout, you're saying that then they eliminate people from the trial that are having bad results to shape the data to look better, that kind of thing?
No, what I'm saying are the subjects, there's no regulation because the subjects are lying. They're going to other facilities before that washout and doing studies, and there's no database in the research industry so how can the efficacy of the drugs, you know what I'm saying?
They're actually involved in multiple clinical trials at the same time and stacking drugs and things like that.
Exactly.
Good question, Cindy. Thanks for your call. Blair, your comments on that. I know you weren't in the research side of the company, so
no.
Your comments may be limited, but does that ring a bell to anything?
Well, I mean,
what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I do know how to read the studies, and I can pick apart a good study and a bad study. And unfortunately, many of the people that have to be in these, you know, that are in these studies, they're doing it for financial reasons. They're not doing it because they just coincidentally happen to be at a doctor's office and have this disease state. So, you know, if you have people in multiple studies taking multiple products, then you're going to have, you're going to have skewed results, whether it's going to be, you know, skewed positive or skewed negative. You're not going to have you're going to have inappropriate results. You know, the results.
I'm just thinking, what kind of person would, I mean, I guess, you know, the economy is being destroyed by Obama policies. Well, virtually every president has been destroying the economy lately, but people are desperate for work and income. So, I mean, are they literally just selling their bodies into multiple clinical trials to get drugged up and paid something? That sounds like suicide to me.
I wouldn't do it. I mean, as desperate as I've been in the past 10 years, I wouldn't do it either. But you see it in the newspaper all the time, you know, drug study, we'll pay you for your time. And so, you know, you get to see the doctor for free. And so, you know, it's they coerce you into this. And yeah, you become a human guinea pig.
Wow. Wow. And then, of course, well, I remember the quote, this was a pharma discussion behind the scenes. Why do you use human guinea pigs? And the answer is they're cheaper than monkeys. I mean, wow. lab monkeys cost more money than paying a human down the street to do it. It's incredible.
Right. And you know, the animal rights folks, you know, would be offended if they, you know, if, you know, what they do
well,
to
and,
the
and rightly
rats
so.
And the
I mean,
and the rabbits. But with what they do to humans, it's, you know, hey, we got to get rid of all the
it's
human
incredible.
Beings.
Incredible. And then there's experiments like in Nigeria on children. There's experiments in Guatemala on the prisoners that took place. The whole history, Jonas Salk and his experiments on antibiotics and prisoners and all kinds of things, mental asylums. Incredible. A lot more straight ahead. Stay with us here on the Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back. We're back. Thank you for continuing with us. We've got Blair Hamrick for just about five more minutes, and thank you for continuing to stay with us, Blair. Wow, a lot of great information you've already shared with us. We've also got callers on the line. Are you okay to take
Slowly.
Another call, Blair?
Sure.
All right, here we go. Roger from Minnesota calling in. Roger, you're on the air. Thanks for joining us. What's on your mind?
Yes, first of all, I want to congratulate Blair for being a whistleblower because it takes a lot of guts and a lot of courage to do that. But
Thanks,
what's on
Roger.
My mind, Blair might be able to respond to this too, I just had my first granddaughter about a year or so ago, and I've been able to convince my daughter and son-in-law of the evils of vaccination. I'm totally anti-vaccination, anti-big pharma. But my daughter has supposedly done some reading herself also, and she just thinks at a minimum my daughter should have, granddaughter should have two shots, the pertussis and the polio vaccine. Of course, I've read about Salk, I've read about the polio vaccine, and the reason my daughter thinks she ought to get the polio vaccine, they plan to travel, go to Europe, and of course India has a high incidence of polio, and I know it's caused by the vaccinations they're receiving over there. So my daughter is very intelligent, my son-in-law is very intelligent, and they respect me, they respect my knowledge, but I just can't get them to convince them, hey, don't give my granddaughter any vaccination. None of them are any good.
Well, you know, the polio vaccine, I mean, we've run those right here on InfoWars. I'll ask you, Blair, for your comments in a second. I know you, sure. you weren't involved in the vaccine division there, but, you know, the polio vaccine has had stealth viruses, SV40, in it throughout history, and there's a lot of paralysis happening today in India in particular from the vaccine itself. So people get the vaccine and then they end up with paralysis. So we know these vaccines are not clean. I mean, just come on, just look at, I mean, the caller's right. You can't trust these companies. Blair, your thoughts.
Well, I tell you what, I was watching Alex's show a couple of weeks ago, and he had I forgot the lady's name, who has that movie that's on Alex's website, The Common Good.
Oh yes, right. I don't recall her name at the moment either. Manoukian, right?
Right. And you know, I haven't seen the film, but I did see her interview, and I found her interview captivating. I like the fact that, you know, she's not so skewed one way or the other. She's trying to bring both sides of the issue,
yeah,
and let you decide for yourself. So I would recommend for Roger to buy that video.
I think,
you
know, that's great.
I haven't seen it, so I can't endorse it.
That's a great idea. In fact, I think that's available at InfoWarsStore.com, isn't it? The video.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, I think so. And you know, and I'm not sitting here trying to pimp one of your products. I mean, I'm just, but at the same time, it's you know, I mean, information is power. And,
well, yeah, know, and I think it's important to hear both sides of the story. First, there's the deceptive, evil, lying pharma side, and then there's the truth side to the right. story. So, yeah, hear both sides. I mean, hey, if you want to believe, folks out there, if you want to, you know, be injected with the DNA and RNA fragments from diseased animals, you know, go ahead, get vaccinated. Bill Gates wants you to be a lower population. Infertility, reduce human population. You can be part of that. You win the Darwin Award. You can give yourself the Darwin Award by getting vaccinated. That's my answer to that. But let's take another call, Blair, because I love those calls. We've got Ed in Arizona now joining us. Ed, you're on the air with Blair Hamrick. Go ahead.
Hey, great to talk to both of you guys. I just wanted to get your take on the massive drugging of the youth we have going on in America right now. I, as a teenager, was kind of rebellious, kind of questioning the system. So, you know, my parents, they meant no harm. They thought they were doing what was best for me at the time. Took me to see a doctor. And long story short, got put on a Effexor and had some real nasty side effects. Mm. I mean, yeah. I turned just into an absolute zombie, gained a bunch of weight. I mean, there's no way you can wake up if you're taking those drugs. So I just wanted to get your guys' take on that.
Good point. Go ahead, Blair.
Well, I tell you what, you know, I mean, unfortunately, you know, what pharmaceutical companies have done to bastardize the research, you know, and, you know, when I was a rep, they used to call, you know, other reps from competing companies would call Effexor side Effexor. And, you know, I mean, just beating up drugs for no reason. But, you know, I don't know whether it was a primary care physician that put you on the medication or whether it was a psychiatrist that did so. I mean, you know, unfortunately, these compounds have side effects and they're dangerous. So, you know, to cavalierly, I mean, I'm sure your parents were just trying to help you out. And because, you know, going through, you know, the problems of adolescence. But, you know, I mean, for instance,
childhood is a disease, I guess, is the thing.
It's called the human condition. Okay, you know, people Blair, get sad.
Blair, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us. It's been an inspiration to hear you telling the truth. You're awesome. And please
thanks,
keep
Mike.
Us posted about the outcome with the Department of Justice.
Will do. I really appreciate you having me.
All right. Great to have you on. That was Blair Hamrick, everybody. And I'll talk to you after the show, Blair. Just touch base with you. Great guy, just willing to tell the truth. Stay with us. A lot more straight ahead.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
All right, we're back on the Alex Jones Show. Thanks for joining us. Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in here. And by the way, you know, I heard an ad on GCN during the previous segment. I just want to give a shout out to the stuff that I know works. That was an ad from Ty Bollinger with Carnivora. That's the real deal. You know, a lot of the products actually that get promoted on InfoWars are things that I've done research on previously, sometimes years ago. For example, the Mahdi Phylan. I interviewed the founder of that company years ago and talked about it and really researched it. It's the real deal too. The brown seaweed extract and the carnivora, these are powerful. They can't even tell you in the ad everything it does because of FDA regulations, but really good stuff. So here's what we're going to do for this segment, for the rest of the show. I'm going to take a lot of your calls, and at this point, it's a free-for-all. You can talk about the issues from the first hour, the gun confiscation. You can talk about healthcare and medicine, anything you want. You can ask me a question, and then I'm going to intersperse that with some additional breaking news. But just very quickly, lemonadefreedom.com is something you need to check out. That's coming up August 18th, a protest about, you know, being able to sell lemonade in a lemonade stand without being harassed by local police. I've also got news about BPA, but not what you think. It turns out that all these BPA-free bottles now, many of them are using something worse, BPS. Yeah, it's a different chemical. So, and by some studies, it is, what, 15 or 19 times more absorbable in the skin than BPA, and it may be just as toxic. It's another hormone-mimicking chemical. So now that when BPA got a bad rep, then a lot of these companies said they reformulated with BPS and then started claiming BPA-free on their products or the grocery receipts. And that's another big source, by the way. If you go to the grocery store or anywhere that you get one of those receipts that's kind of slick, that is loaded with toxic BPA or BPS. So if you handle those receipts, wash your hands before eating anything. Do not touch food after touching those receipts. Or you might become, if you're a male, you might get literally chemically, hormonally feminized. That's what the chemicals do. You know, say what you want, but that's what the chemicals do. It's cause and effect in basic biochemistry. But now let's go to the first caller that we've got in the queue here. Sky in North Carolina is now, you're on the line with Mike Adams here. Hello, Sky. How you doing?
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you. My question was for Blair, but you probably can answer it. I'm calling to get like an information download on the drug Cymbalta or the drug maker that makes Cymbalta. My grandma just recently fell ill. She's been to three major hospitals. No doctor can tell what's wrong with her. They can't figure it out. And I'm looking at her medical records, and I'm seeing where they prescribed Cymbalta to her for no real reason. And then right then when she started taking that drug, she just went into a zombie coma state.
Well,
so I was wondering if you knew anything about that.
I'm not going to comment on specifically on a brand name drug like that, but you can do your own research, and that's what I encourage you to do. Search for Cymbalta side effects or Cymbalta clinical trials. You sound like a very well-informed, intelligent guy. You'll be able to do some research and find out. And then, hey, ask for the package insert from the physician and read the side effects right in the package insert. Most physicians haven't even read that insert. So that'll give you a wealth of information. You might be able to find that insert states the side effect that your mother experiencing or your grandmother?
Talking about on the show, we can't really trust those inserts, or we can't trust what I can look up and find because the studies and tests were all BS, basically.
But the inserts will list the side effects. They are required to list the side effects that normally aren't talked about in the advertising. So go ahead and do that job. And I think you're correct to be skeptical. I'll leave it at that. I wouldn't take that drug myself. And if I had a family member that was on that drug or basically almost any pharmaceutical, I would encourage them to find safer alternatives to get off of those drugs. Let's go to another caller. And thank you for your call, Sky. But let's go to Sheldon in Wisconsin. Sheldon, you're on the air on the Alex Jones Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I have a question for you. I work in an inner city clinic, and I noticed that a lot of our kids are over vaccinated. The mammograms is off the chain and everything like that. But here's my question. I was telling a bunch of my friends about apricot seeds, how I would crack open the core of the apricot and eat the seeds out of it.
Yep.
And a friend of mine was telling me about a physician who overdosed off the cyanide poisoning of apricot seeds. Is there anything to that, or I don't know.
It sounds like a scare tactic. I've eaten lots of apricot seeds in the past, and they do contain what's sometimes called vitamin B17 or Laetril. In fact, our earlier guest, Ed Griffin, has an entire book on that. I think it's called The War on Cancer or I forgot the exact title of it, but you can check that information out by Ed Griffin. It is basically a natural chemotherapy agent. Now, has somebody ever been harmed by it? I don't know, but they try to tell these scare stories like about colloidal silver. They try to scare people away from colloidal silver with these myths that you know, it'll do weird things to you. That's complete disinfo. The real threat is the pharmaceuticals and the vaccines. And you get things from nature, they tend to be orders of magnitude safer and more effective. So I've eaten many of those apricot seeds myself. Hey, I'm still here. I have no cancer. I have no health insurance, and I don't have a doctor. Not looking to get one anytime soon either. I'd rather eat something out of nature than out of a pharmaceutical lab. So that's a good question from you. Thanks for bringing that up. Craig in Oklahoma, you are on the air. Craig, go ahead, please.
Mike, howdy from above the Red River from you. Wanted to comment on, I'm a recently disabled peer support specialist for the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services in Oklahoma.
Yes.
So I'm no longer employed there, and I'm so glad to get hold of you, because with Big Pharma coming under the microscope like they are, I'm kind of tying in something as far as a conspiracy. Mike, in 1963, the State Memorial Hospital in Oklahoma had over 2,000 beds. Today, there are only little over 100 beds at the state mental hospital. Now, let me tell you something that's wrong with this picture. The state's number one expenditure compared to any and all expenditures combined in the state of Oklahoma for psychotropic medications is the Oklahoma County Jail. And I've written Senator Coburn, I've written Senator Sparks. Coburn's a U.S. Senator, Sparks is, and I always get this really good feedback from him, but nobody seems to want to, to get this information published.
What's the thrust of it? You're saying that the top two expenditures are jails and mind-altering drugs? Is that the thrust of your call?
No, pharma, psychotropic medications.
Yeah, pharma.
The state of Oklahoma's number one expenditure for psychotropic medications. It's not the mental health service combined or anything. The number one expenditures
is the drugs.
Oklahoma and Tulsa County jails.
No, I think you're right on. But the point is, these states are going broke under the corrupt collapsing society that they're building, which is going to be prison run. You know, everybody's going to be thrown in prison. And if you don't go along with the system, you got to be on your psychotropic drugs. You're going to be considered mentally unhealthy or mentally impaired if you oppose authority. That's another thing. In fact, the DSM, for the psychiatry industry, has a disorder called oppositional defiance disorder, or ODD. That means if you are against authority in any way, for example, the government says you gotta start recycling your plastic bottles, and you say no, I don't. Then you get diagnosed with an oppositional defiance disorder, put on psychiatric drugs, and perhaps thrown in one of these jails. Thank you for your call, by the way. It's a good point on what the priorities are in society now, why we've got to change that and get back to liberty, to freedom, to health, to raising healthy children and keeping them informed. I'm going to go to another call in just a second, but first let me read you a news story. The FDA has been caught spying on emails of its own scientists in a huge surveillance operation. That's up now on the web, Infowars.com, naturalnews.com is carrying that story. Also, check this out. The USDA has published a graph that is the adoption of genetically engineered crops in the U.S. Let me give you some light here in the studio in case you want to get a shot of that. It shows that these three main crops, soybeans, cotton, and corn, are headed toward 100% adoption across the planted acres in the U.S. In other words, it means that the GMO imperialism that is taking place in America has achieved almost 100% adoption in many of these areas. It's 70 to 80% on some. Some are herbicide tolerant crops. Others are insect resistant crops. They're all genetically modified. Now we're showing the graph on screen for you right there. This is right out of the USDA. And you see all these lines going straight up into the 100% or approaching 100% range. That means very soon, if we don't stop this thing, guys and gals, everybody listening, if we don't stop this genetic pollution and this agricultural intellectual imperialism, this destructive genetic approach to agriculture, we're going to end up with 100% of the soybeans, corn, and cotton all being genetically modified. Let's go to another caller, Allie in Illinois. You're on the air. Go ahead, Allie.
Hi, Mike. It's so nice to talk to you. I listen to the show every day, and I've never called in before, but when I heard Blair's story, I had to call in because I used to work for a company that managed that Speaker Bureau program.
Really? Tell us more.
Yes. Well, they paid out. We paid out those honorariums, quote unquote, to speakers to go around and tell other doctors to prescribe. And get this, the company's name that I worked for was called Scientific Voice. That's some Orwellian speak right there. But we would pay them up to $3,200 for an hour's worth of work. And these doctors got to think that they were rock stars. They would go around thinking that they were so cool. And I mean, making a living off of talking to other doctors. And honestly, the only thing bigger than their heads was their wallets. They were so egotistical and so rich from it. It was insane.
Well, this is awesome that you called, Allie. Let me ask you some more questions then. So your company was the in-between that like a pharma company would hire your company to sign up a lot of doctors to be speakers and would manage that relationship?
Exactly. And we would try to manage all of the little regulations in between. What Blair was saying earlier also about the slide presentations that the doctors would use, absolutely those were written by the marketing people. My direct clients were the marketing people at Sanofi Aventis, AstraZeneca, Wyeth, and absolutely the doctors were paid to prescribe.
What was the behavior of the doctors? Were they willing to sell out to get this money? What was their attitude about all this?
Are you kidding me? They loved it. They would like tack on these speeches into a vacation. They would go off. They would have dinner, lunch, breakfast with other doctors, and then get the hotel paid for them, get their airfare paid, and they would take a couple of days also extra and just go on vacation.
And these are the people responsible for your health, many people believe. Remember that, folks. When you go see your doctor, you're probably dealing with a criminal who accepted bribes. That's what these are. These are bribes. These are kickbacks. But they were never talked about that way, right, Allie? They were just sort of honorariums, that kind of language.
Absolutely. And it's so funny because I'm sure all of the listeners right now are shocked by this. This was every day obvious for us. I knew it was wrong in my heart and my soul. I knew that this was wrong, which is why I had to get out of it. But it was so blatantly obvious what was going on. But everybody just like sheep kept walking toward the edge of the cliff, just kept doing it, just didn't care. I mean, the doctors wanted the money. The reps were getting money. They were the more that prescriptions that they got, the better their sales were, the better their region did, the more kickbacks they got. Everybody was in on it. Everybody was complicit. It was not a big secret. Everybody knew what they were doing.
So, Allie, we're not going to break yet, but when we do, could you stay on the line? We want to get your number and talk to you off the air. You don't have to share your name or make it public or anything, but I'd like to talk to you more. It sounds like you know some other inside details that the public needs to know about this. Would you be willing to give our producers your phone number?
Sure, I'd love to talk to you guys. Thank you.
Okay, great. Yeah, just don't give it live on the air. You get a million calls. But so let me ask you some other questions. So how many doctors overall did your company deal with in your estimation?
I mean, it was doctors for each and every single drug. So it was for instance, Sanofi Aventis had their overall list of quote-unquote speakers, and then each individual drug had their speakers. It had to be thousands.
Wow. And what was the highest amount that you saw paid to doctors for these speaking gigs?
$3,200 was the highest that I ever saw. It was for, usually that was for a day's work. But, I mean, they could very easily, there were some sometimes where they would make up to maybe $1,500, $1,800 for an hour for a visit, a lunch, breakfast, or dinner. But they could go do a breakfast and then a lunch and then a dinner, stack it up, and all of a sudden they're racking up $5,000 or $6,000 a day.
Yeah, that's what Blair was telling us, exactly that. They would do a breakfast speech, a lunch speech, a dinner speech. And, of course, all the meals are paid for by the drug company. The travel was paid for. The hotel was paid for. Even other things, you know, like tickets to concerts and baseball games and Disneyland and places like that were paid for by the drug companies. And then the doctor would walk home from this vacation with an extra, you know, $12,000 in their pocket for 2 days of giving speeches while they eat.
Absolutely. And there were so many little things that they could get reimbursed for: dry cleaning, meals at the airport, just little anything that was incidental toward the trip, they got picked up too.
So what was your position then? Were you recruiting doctors, or what exactly did you do?
Yes, I would recruit the doctors based on the representatives, the pharmaceutical reps' suggestions. So they might find a doctor who they thought was in on the deal, so they'd submit their paperwork to get this doctor signed up to be on the speakers bureau, and then I would just physically coordinate the meetings and cut the check. So I would set up to get the speaker's airfare, hotel, and get him the slide presentation, everything he needed to do to go to this meeting. I would set up the on-site meeting, all of the little details. I mean, it might be a meeting that had 50, 60 people. It might be one doctor, like Blair was saying. There were times where the doctor would get paid $2,000 to go talk to one guy.
Wow, that's funny, because I volunteer here to talk to 2 million people. I do it because I believe in liberty, but these doctors are just pocketing money to tell lies about pharma. It's all propaganda education. Amazing.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. I'm really glad you called. So you said in your heart you felt you knew this was wrong. Did you eventually leave because of that? Obviously, you're not working with that organization anymore. What happened?
Yes, it was my first corporate job out of college, so I was maybe 23, 24. I was just happy to be getting a paycheck, and honestly, I didn't know what I was doing at first.
Allie, stay with us. We got to go to break. Sorry to interrupt you. We got to go to a quick break, but stay with us, if you would, please. Allie, we'll be right back on the other side with a lot more. Stay with us, folks. Continuing here with our caller, Allie, who helped coordinate these kickbacks, these that would have been called bribes to doctors, these so-called speaking fees. You know, here's what's going on here, folks, and you're getting this here first on Infowars.com, The Alex Jones Show. There is a revolution taking place in medicine. The exposing of the pharma crimes, the mafia, the corruption, it's all coming out. The whole thing is a facade of just disinformation, falsified clinical trials, doctors getting kickbacks, FDA bureaucrats getting paid off, CDC officials getting lucrative multi-million dollar jobs with the vaccine manufacturers. It is a giant orgy of corruption that's called medicine. And if you take that medicine out there, folks, if you take these drugs, if you take these vaccines, you are a sucker of these industries who are using your body to make profits for their own rich filthy rich executives. You are a sucker if you fall for that. And the doctors are going to line you up for it too, because they're making money under the table at the same time. You trust your doctor? You're a fool. Let me tell you, you trust your doctor? Unless that doctor is into holistic health and alternative complementary medicine and understands nutrition, if you trust a mainstream drug-taking, drug-pimping doctor, you're a fool. And yeah, you can quote me on that. And we're going to continue with Allie right here, who's on the phone. Allie, amazing information that you were bringing to us. It just backs up everything else that we've been talking about here with Blair Hamrick, the Glaxo whistleblower, all the other information that's coming out. What do you think about the big picture, Allie?
Well, I think, as you said, don't let them use your body, but more importantly, don't let them use your mind either. As I was saying before we broke, I was just a young kid doing this job, and I just needed the money. And as I got deeper and deeper into it, I worked for the company for 3 to 4 years. I knew it was wrong. I was unhappy every day. I just felt bad and icky in my soul. So I got out. I started my own business. I'm completely unrelated to pharmaceuticals, but I started following my own passion and my own heart. And that's what the overall message is. Follow your passion, follow your heart, and you can't go wrong.
Yeah, I bet you made less money, but your soul felt better for it. Is that accurate?
Oh, I'm making a fraction of the amount of money that I made, but I'm happy. I feel like a happy person now.
Yeah.
I never had that before.
What do your family and friends say about all this? Are they aware of what you just shared with us, that all this is going on, or is it just this big secret that nobody talks about?
I think I only really have my parents, and they're very skeptical as well. So to them, they kind of get it. It's no big surprise. I mean, here in the Midwest, it's the secret that everybody knows, but nobody talks about. Everybody knows. It's the Leonard Cohen song. Everybody knows that ice are loaded, and it's just time to start talking out about it. It's time to start making life changes about it.
Absolutely. It's time to catalyze the whistleblowers. It's time to unleash that truth telling everywhere. Why bury your head in the sand out there, folks? There's no more need for that. If everybody just told the truth, we could eliminate the corruption, eliminate the fraud, eliminate the suffering, bring back liberty, bring back honesty, honest medicine. Hey, what about free market medicine, so people have a real choice? That's what we need to bring back. Allie, you sound like a very credible whistleblower. I really appreciate you bringing your experience to the show today. We're almost out of time, but any final thoughts before we let you go here today?
Just thank you for letting me talk. I love Alex. I love you. I listen to the show every day. I never call in. I'm a little shy, but I finally heard Blair talking today, and I thought, if there's any day to call, it's today. So I hope that the information has been helpful to you guys, and best of luck, best wishes. God bless you for everything you've done.
Thank you, Allie. You don't sound shy at all. You sound like you should have been in the InfoWars reporter contest video or something, actually. So you're doing a great job. Thanks for calling in. And everybody out there listening, thank you for watching. We're going to continue, by the way, with just 5 minutes of overdrive today, just to finish up some of the news we didn't have a chance to get to. But for everybody else, retransmission begins now. And check out InfoWars.com for much more, and overdrive straight ahead for those online. Right, continuing here with just a few minutes of overdrive. This is Mike Adams filling in today for Alex Jones. I wanted to just take a little bit of time here because there's so many issues we did not have a chance to cover. But wow, what a show. What a show today. I don't know what you think about it, but I thought we had some great guests, some great information that got shared out there with the public. Look, things are changing. The transformation is upon us. The global police state is getting desperate to try to shut down free speech, precisely because this kind of information is coming out. The truth about the drug industry is coming out. It's complete fraud. It is just a system of kickbacks and payoffs and corruption with everybody on the take. As long as they make their money, they're willing to sacrifice the health of some child who's going to go into a seizure and be paralyzed or dead from a vaccine. They don't care. As long as they make their money and they can buy their Mercedes and they can get their fancy house, they don't care what happens to you and your children, all right? That's what we're dealing with here. It is an evil, kind of destructive, almost an infestation of the human spirit that has happened with these people. They've been taken over by, almost literally demonic forces of some kind. It's that bad. I mean, who on earth would sacrifice the health of children or senior citizens just so they can make an extra buck selling another few billion dollars worth of pharmaceuticals and vaccines. Who would do that? I hope you wouldn't do that. I would never do that. I think most listeners to the Alex Jones Show would not do that, because you have ethics, because you have a heart, because you have, you know there is eternal judgment on your actions in this life, right? You know there's going to be a record. A record is kept of everything you do, and you will be held to account for it. Well, let's get to some other stories here. This is by Kurt Nimmo up on Infowars.com right now. Iran accuses U.S. of using weather weapons. I wanted to get to this during the show, but this is fascinating. And Iran is right now experiencing its worst drought since 1964. Now, here's the other thought on this. If the U.S. has these weather weapons, is it using them against the U.S. heartland right now to destroy the corn supply, the food supply? It's being crushed by about 60%, maybe 70%. Could be even worse before this is over. So are they being used against the domestic population and the farmers in America today? Maybe so. I don't know. Maybe that's another show. Let me go to this one. Business leaders hit back at Obama after he says the wealthy aren't responsible for their own success. Remember this? Remember this quote from, what was it, just yesterday or 2 days ago? Obama said during a speech, if you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. I can't tell you how offensive this statement is, how detached from reality it is, how ignorant of basic economic fundamentals this is. To claim that business owners and innovators and the people that put in the hours, the long hours, like I see people putting in hours around here. You know, Alex Jones built this network. I built up Natural News. Alex Jones built up InfoWars. All the other innovators out there have built up their businesses. For Obama to come along and say that we didn't do that, that's absurd. It's offensive. It is ignorant. It is detached from reality. I just can't tell you how offensive that is. And even Rush Limbaugh then accused the president of, quote, destroying the American dream. I don't agree with Rush Limbaugh on a lot of things, but on this one, he's right. This is Obama destroying the American dream. What is this? This weird sickness, this psychosis among the communists who think that society gives you everything. That the individual isn't responsible for your own outcome, your own success or failure. That is a communist manifesto type of belief system, and it is un-American. It is anti-American to say that business leaders aren't responsible for their own success. That is so offensive. It's the small business owners that create the jobs for 90% of Americans. That's a fact you can't argue with, even if you're the president. In any case, I enjoy sharing this info with you today. Thanks for your support. Thanks for allowing me to come on and just basically be part of the InfoWar. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, sharing my thoughts with you today. Hope to be back in the future. Until then, take care and keep fighting the InfoWar.